Today's Politico Playbook audio briefing is presented by Google.
Good Wednesday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing.
And I'm Anna Palmer. There is angst and growing unrest among House Democrats over Congress's handling of the coronavirus. This is real, and you can feel it when talking to Democrats. Our colleagues, Heather Cagle, Sarah Ferris, and John Bresnahan, chronicled this late Tuesday in a story filled with quotes from Democrats illustrating this issue. Of course, Democrats are prone to bedwetting, so this isn't a huge surprise. Speaker Nancy Pelosi's allies complain that the unrest is ridiculous. Pelosi, they say, is the only party leader to have passed anything on COVID relief recently, and that wasn't being recognized. Plus, the vast, vast majority of Dems are with Pelosi in her plan to hold out for a better deal. In her thinking, Republicans are going to come back to the table, and the way to get them back is to stay firm and not flinch. She's done this before, and her detractors have not.
Fair enough, but there's no question Pelosi's being squeezed at the moment. On one side, she has her moderate and frontline Democrats who want to vote. On the other side, progressives and unions don't want a half measure and don't want to be pressured into a small deal by the GOP. Republicans, of course, say Pelosi doesn't want a deal at all, something her team denies. Pelosi has said she's going to keep the House around until a deal. Around is metaphorical, though, because lawmakers will be on standby from their homes. But there's a roadmap here, and it's not hard to chart an alternate pathway that may lead to a dynamic shift in COVID relief talks. This is based on reporting from inside the leadership, discussions with Pelosi loyalists and detractors alike.
Number one, this needs to start with Democratic leadership giving a few inches. Give moderates a handful of votes on policies that everyone agrees on. Enhanced unemployment. An extension of the Paycheck Protection Program. Some stimulus checks. New testing policies and state and local aid. Break them up into a handful of bills, force multiple votes, and be loud about it. This won't be easy. In fact, Pelosi insiders say it would be a mess, but it would scratch the itch of Democrats who want some kind of action. Number two, each one of those is likely to pass. At that point, Pelosi and Democrats can stop talking about the HEROES Act, which passed 124 days ago. Pelosi and House Democrats can say, "Get in the game. Where are you, Mr. President? Where are you, Senate Republicans? If you want a deal, we're ready, willing, and able. Make a big show of it. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Head to the steps of the Capitol. Get in Trump's face."
Three, the White House, of course, is split in a million different directions. Mark Meadows and Steven Mnuchin are the two negotiators, but they aren't always eye to eye on tactics and strategy. Trump, meanwhile, barely cares about the policy, people close to him say. He wants a deal and may not realize what's on the table, but if Democrats do their job, they can make the case there are policies he could stomach within reach for him. Everyone else has figured out how to play Trump. Why have House Democrats missed the memo on that? Why are they not on cable screaming and shouting to the president? Of course, this strategy is not without risk. Once you offer a handful of policies on the floor, there will be more belly aching. For example, airlines need a bailout, so do restaurants and live music venues. But why doesn't Washington just take what's on the table and come back for another bite later on?
And we've got the Breonna Taylor latest. WTVQ's Scott Rogers is reporting that the city of Louisville has settled the lawsuit for $12 million and also made promises to make reforms. We've got some new Politico Morning Consult polling out this morning on topic. 61% of people heard about the Senate Dems blocking a COVID relief bill. 74% heard a lot or some about Trump playing down the COVID threat because he didn't want to create a panic. 73% from military households had heard about the Atlantic report, where Jeffrey Goldberg had him calling vets suckers or losers. Democrats hold a 49-30 advantage over Republicans in who voters trust to handle COVID. 53% of people rate Trump's handling of COVID as poor, and 33% said it was excellent or good. 38% rate congressional Dems' handling of COVID as excellent or good. And a notable quotable. Bob Woodward said this to CNN's Anderson Cooper. "I don't know, to be honest, whether he's got it straight in his head what is real and what is unreal. That is why at the end of this book, I say in totality, my judgment is, this is the wrong man for the job." He was, of course, speaking about the president.
The Post has a big profile on Attorney General Bill Barr and how Trump and his AG use each other. From last night's town hall, George Stephanopoulos asked Trump if he regretted anything in regards to the coronavirus, and he said, "No, I think we did a great job." Trump was asked why he doesn't support a national mask mandate and wear a mask more often. Trump said that some people don't like masks, and he was asked too, and he said waiters. Once again, Trump on his Obamacare replacement, "I have it all ready. It doesn't matter, it's all ready, and it's a much better plan." That's what he said once again.
Our colleague Meredith McGraw reports that Trump is cramming months of policy moves into the dwindling weeks before the election, while the FT just lays it on with this headline, TikTok set to become a standalone U.S. company to satisfy White House. And wildfires continue to rage. The AP reports that wildfire resources are running thin, and half of fire season is yet to come. The LA Times puts it bluntly, the worst fire season ever. Again. Meanwhile, the New York Times is up reporting that rain is battering Alabama as Hurricane Sally continues its crawl to land, and the AP notes this morning that Tropical Storm Teddy has been upgraded to a hurricane. The Post has a look at how a pro-Trump youth group has enlisted teens in a secretive online campaign that prompted a rebuke by Facebook and Twitter.
Anita Kumar has a look at how Trump spent years courting Indian Americans and then Biden picked Kamala Harris. Here's what's on tap for Trump's Wednesday. The president will participate in a call with Jewish leaders at 12:30 in the Oval Office. He'll have lunch with Mike Pence at 1:30. Trump will depart the White House at 6:50 en route to the Capitol Hill Club, where he'll deliver remarks at the NRCC's Battleground Dinner. He'll depart at 7:55 and return to the White House at 8. Joe Biden will be briefed by public health experts about developments in the coronavirus vaccine in Wilmington. He'll also deliver remarks. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.